Hello, my name is Ray Jefferson, and you're listening to Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU-FM. On this program, we sit down with community leaders and artists who are defining the creative identity of Waco. On this episode, Dorian Ravenscroft is back to talk about Art on Elm, a free annual event that puts art right onto the streets of Waco each spring. Later in the show, we'll hear the segment David and Art with David Smith. But first, Fiona Bond and Kennedy Sam are here to share about Creative Waco's summer camp calendar and a few new things that will be popping up this spring. Welcome to the show, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, Ray. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing fine, thanks.
Great. So the summer camp calendar is in its third year of publication, right? So can you guys describe what purpose the calendar serves?
Absolutely. So the summer camp calendar is a free to access resource for parents and grandparents, anyone who has a kid that's interested in creative summer camps. And it's a really wonderful way of seeing in one place all of the different things there are going on during the summer for grade school aged kids. The really nice thing about it is you can search it according to the art form you're interested in. So if you have a budding Shakespeare, you can just search for theater. Or you can search for anything creative for a third grader. So you can search by the age of the kid. Or if you are desperate to find something creative and fantastic for your kids to do the second week of July, you can search by date.
Wow, that's really cool. Kennedy, you're in charge of organizing everything this year, right? How's that going?
It's going great. We've gotten such an awesome reception from all of the various art organizations in the community. We probably have over 10 organizations who have signed up so far to get their summer camp placed on our calendar. So we are excited to see all the amazing things coming during the summer for everyone to do.
Sure.
Yeah.
So beyond, I know Fiona just mentioned theater, what other kinds of camps are available?
So we have, artistic camps. We have, like, music camps with the, like, choruses. So there's a lot of various different organizations that join the camps, the summer camp calendar. But there is something literally for anything that your child loves artistic-wise.
Cool. So I guess locals will just be able to keep an eye out for that calendar. Where can they find that?
They can find it on the Creative Waco website. Mm-hmm. So it's just on the regular website. It has a direct link, and we will put the full URL onto the blog and onto the KWBU.
And we've made it very easy. So when you go to creativewaco.org, it's right in the menu bar, so you don't have to go searching for it as well. It says summer camps, so that's what you click.
Perfect. Perfect. That's great. So the spring season marks the start of a lot of community events and, just different creative events that happen, you know, during the season. Can you guys talk a little bit about what's coming up?
I always think this is when Waco is at its most beautiful, and it's when all the outdoor events and festivals start happening. Of course, we've already seen some. We had Food Truck Showdown, and we had a Spring at the Silos. Mm-hmm. Of course, we have Art on Elm, which we'll be finding out a little bit more about later in the show. The film festival starts, I think...
It starts on the 28th, so yesterday. It'll be running all week until Sunday, the 31st, yes. So it's not too late to get your tickets, hopefully, if you haven't yet. And they have an amazing lineup. They have over 111 films showing this weekend.
Oh, wow.
So, yes.
Filmmakers coming from a far field of Singapore for this.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes.
All over the world to Waco for the film festival.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Brazos Nights is about to start. So if you love gathering your family and friends, plus a blanket and a picnic for a really cool, free, open-air festival, check out the Brazos Nights lineup. It's always amazing, and it's always a wonderful opportunity to get together with the whole community for outdoor performances.
Perfect. Fiona and Kennedy, thank you so much for joining us today. You can find details about everything we've discussed at creativewaco.org/blog. Arts organizations work hard to engage with their communities. Any little extra bit of help, even from the national government, can make that possible. Here's David Smith with this installment of David and Art.
Among the numerous institutions that came to a grinding halt during the government shutdown earlier this year was the National Endowment for the Arts. For 35 days, its website announced that it would be unable to review grant applications, return email inquiries, or even answer the phone. But from its beginnings in 1965, optimism has always run strong at the NEA. In the funding package signed by the president that finally ended the shutdown, the endowment actually received a boost of $2 million for its fiscal year 2019 budget. After a 35-day furlough, Acting Chairman Mary Ann Carter announced, "We are happy to be back to the important work of providing access to the arts for all Americans." Last month, the endowment announced $27 million worth of arts grants. 52 of those grants, totaling over $1.2 million, came to Texas. Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio, in large part because of their vibrant arts scenes, received a lot of the grants, but they also went to arts organizations in places like Beaumont, Galveston, El Paso, Wichita Falls, Odessa, and Lufkin. Projects in all 50 states, the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico received funding in this latest round of grants. And while big organizations did receive help for programs they're mounting, most of the grants were to small outfits trying to introduce more people to the arts. 60 orchestras around the country received grants in this latest round, money that will be used for education programs, community outreach activities, commissioning new works, and for training young musicians. To look down the list of grants is to get a sense of how active local orchestras are in trying to engage their populations. The Boston Youth Symphony received $45,000 to support a strings training program to serve students in Boston schools. The El Paso Symphony Orchestra got $15,000 to help stage a youth orchestra festival. The Kansas City Symphony got the same amount to help pay for a series of free chamber music concerts. $10,000 certainly doesn't sound like a lot of money against the backdrop of the entire federal budget, but for the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra, it's going to make the difference between being able to produce an education program for young people in that city and the idea just remaining on the wish list, where it would affect no one's life. I know that a lot of people think of the National Endowment for the Arts as nothing more than an elitist organization that serves only the interests of a very few well-off people. A quick look at the long list of grants that it makes each year, however, shows that it's anything but. Because of what it does, more people get to experience the wide range of what the arts can really be.
You're listening to Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU, and I'm your host, Ray Jefferson. I'm here with Doreen Ravenscroft, the Director of Cultural Arts of Waco. She organizes Waco's largest creative events each year, including Arts Fest and Art on Elm, which is coming up this April. Doreen, thanks for being here today.
It's a pleasure.
So, did you know that you've been on this program more than any other guest?
No.
Well, you have that title as of right now. So, a lot of people see you as a major leader in the arts in Waco. You're in charge of, you know, one of the largest arts organizations here and some of the biggest festivals that we have every year. Do you see yourself as somebody that, you know, is a very wise sage in the arts here? Or, you know, how do you feel about that?
Honestly, I don't feel like that at all. I really just feel like, okay, we need to have the arts and, you know, let's do it. Let's find a way. It's kind of, and it kind of grew.
Yeah, that's great. So Cultural Arts of Waco has been working for many years to build a memorial to the local war hero, Doris Miller. And I haven't had a chance to actually chat with you about that. And you guys had the dedication this past December. And so can you talk a little bit about his story for those who may not be familiar?
Yes, well, Doris Miller actually, you know, signed up for the Navy. He is from Waco, and when he signed up, of course, it was World War II, and he was at Pearl Harbor, and at the bombing of Pearl Harbor, and did some an amazing rescue of the captain of the West Virginia, which was the ship he was serving on. And then went on to man one of the machine guns to fire at the Japanese planes that were bombing Pearl Harbor. And for that, he was the first, well, not only that, but also jumping into the water when they were told they totally had to abandon ship, and saving quite a few sailors as well, that were also very, you know, badly injured because the oil was actually burning. So for his heroic efforts, he was finally awarded the Navy Cross by President Roosevelt.
That's awesome. And, you know, one of the most significant details of that is that he was an African-American.
Yes,
and
at he was the first African-American to receive the Navy Cross.
Yes, and at that time, he was a cook in,
yes.
in the ship. So
yes.
he wasn't, you know, somebody who would have really been out there shooting machine guns and things like that.
No, and at that time in history, an African-American certainly joining the Navy, the only actually positions were as a messman.
Got it. So Cultural Arts of Waco has been working for several years to build this memorial. And can you just talk a little bit about why you guys have worked so hard on this, why you felt like this was a story that needed to be honored in Waco?
Well, you know, it all began with Jerry Powell, who's the professor at law school and at the Baylor Law School. And we had actually, you know, been managing the Chisholm Trail, which is a historic sculpture for Waco, in that it's saying the history of Waco. And he felt that if we were going to do another historic type sculpture, it should be Doris Miller. So we all looked at that and it was like, yes, we should. Mm-hmm. It was the right thing to do. And so that was in 2009. So believe it or not, we've been working on it for 10 years.
Yeah.
And this year is really special because it will be Doris Miller's 100th birthday this year.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
So we hope to do some special things around that too.
Sure, and I'm sure that, you know, that extended timeline has been frustrating for you guys. Can you talk a little bit about the things that have happened that have caused this project to kind of become longer than you anticipated it being?
Oh, we thought we had raised all the money, and then in 2016, I think everybody's heard this story.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, there was some massive changes in the floodplain, and some of it to do with some calculations. A tributary north of Waco had not been calculated in. And so the Brazos River Authority and other powers that be were saying that the floodplain was going to be raised, and it would be really wise of us to raise the memorial and also move it back. And so, and you know, the city and our engineers, the Wallace Group, worked together to, basically recite on the site the design of the memorial.
Yeah.
And so from a very small amount of concrete, we tripled the amount
Oh, wow.
of concrete. And so that ended up, you know, putting the project way, way over budget. But we are still fundraising and actually working pretty hard at the moment. We've got some exciting announcements to make in maybe a few weeks' time.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys already have the statue up right now.
We have the Doris Miller bronzes up, but we have three more bronze reliefs to come in.
Okay.
They tell the story. Doris and his family as sharecroppers, their small area of land was in Spiegelville. It's now under Lake Waco.
Wow.
And then we go on to Doris Miller in school and also in the Navy because of his sporting career, both as a star football player in A.J. Moore and then the Navy champion. I was very much informed by the crew of the USS Doris Miller that no, he wasn't just the champion of West Virginia. He was the champion of the Navy. So, that they were extremely proud of, and they were also extremely proud to serve on a ship named in honor of him.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So how closely have you guys worked with his living family as you've been working on this project?
Really right since the beginning.
Okay.
When we were working with Eddie Dixon, who is in Lubbock, we met with Flozetta Miller It wasn't always possible for Henrietta to come, but they came to some of our fundraisers, and of course, an amazing amount of family was here on December the 7th last year, so that we could dedicate the memorial, even though it wasn't finished. It was important to dedicate it because it was December 7th, and most of it was there, and it was an amazing morning. Pouring with rain, but an amazing morning.
That's incredible. So, Doreen, I know that, you know, the team at Creative Waco and other community members really appreciate the dedication and persistence that you've shown in bringing this memorial to life. So thank you so much for the work
thank
and the
you.
Time that you've put into this.
I think, you know, and it's not just me. It's the team that is with me, because we meet every Wednesday morning for breakfast.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's really, we are kind of like glue. We're not sure what we'll do when we finish completing the memorial, but I think we'll still be going for breakfast just because.
That's amazing. So now I'd like to talk about Art on Elm. That's coming up in just a few days. And so it's scheduled for April 12th and 13th, right? That's a
yes.
Friday and Saturday.
Yes.
What can event goers expect to see this year at the festival?
Well, we're still hoping that we will have a nice array of artist vendors. The deadline is still open, so that's not closed yet. So we always leave that really pretty tight to fairly close to the festival. And the student art, Jane Nash, is taking acceptances from schools so that they've registered with her that they are bringing art from our students K through 12. And that's always amazingly popular. It will be in the Art Place building, but it'll probably be the last year. I'm hoping that we can start renovating that fairly soon. And then we have, you know, last year we started Elm Tea Fest. So we are actually really just developing the drinking tea side of it this
year.
Yes. So there'll be two sittings, one at 2 and one at 3:30 for afternoon tea, scones and cream.
That's awesome.
Clotted cream, not just pouring cream. So, you know, and strawberry jam. So all those traditional things. Mm-hmm. And then we're also featuring Marilyn Gift Gallery and her amazing hats. And if anyone hasn't seen those wonderful hats, for each tea there'll be a small parade of hats, so that we're featuring some of the businesses in the community.
Sure. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That sounds like a lot of fun.
So I hope it'll be fun.
Yeah.
You know, last year it went from 46 degrees to 31 degrees.
Oh, great.
The year before, it was extremely windy. So we think it's our turn to have a really nice day.
I hope you guys do. People go regardless of the weather.
They do,
which
is amazing.
Yeah.
And thank you.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
To everyone who comes.
So do you guys have any performances lined up this year?
No, I think we're going to, in the end, I think we've decided we are going to do a DJ.
Okay, that's fun.
Yeah.
Why do you guys host Art on Elm each year?
Well, because it actually started, you know, with NeighborWorks.
Okay.
As part of one of their CLI initiatives, which is a community engagement initiative, just to bring awareness to Elm Avenue in East Waco, and also to involve the community. So, you know, that's what we're trying to do more in involving the community. And in actual fact, I've forgotten one thing. We will be asking Ira Watkins to bring some of his art. He actually lives in California, but his home is Waco. And so we're hoping to have a small exhibit of his art together with Chesley Smith, and also reveal the mural that they're going to do in South Waco, because finally that wall has been prepped, and they will be starting in April.
That's amazing. Wow. Do you have any idea what that mural is going to be? Have
oh,
they shared
I do.
That? Okay,
yeah.
You're not sharing it yet?
No.
Okay. We'll just have to wait and see.
It's 300 feet long.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
They changed their minds and decided to do the whole of the wall.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
So. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Do you know how long that's going to take?
I don't. When Ira starts, he'll probably be here for a month.
Okay.
I think he will finish it in a month. He is very conscientious. You know, I worked with him on the river when we had to repair the Martin Luther King mural. And he was always there at 9:30 and finished promptly at 4.
It's full workday for him.
Full workday, yes.
So for those who aren't familiar with Ira, can you just kind of talk a little bit about his work and his connection to Waco?
Ira?
Mm-hmm.
Well, basically, his family, a lot of people will know Gigi Green Bowie. I never know whether it's Green Bowie or Bowie Green. I get it. Always muddled up. So she's his sister.
Okay.
And so he comes pretty regularly to Waco. I'm not quite sure what year he left Waco, but now he lives in San Francisco.
Okay.
And he's part of an amazing arts community in San Francisco, and is, I would call, a folk artist.
Okay.
But he's absolutely super to work with. And when we were down on the river, you know, people were coming from, his relatives were coming from Dallas and all over the place just to come and visit. And then anybody who stopped by, he just stopped and talked to them. And I think that's the nicest thing about him, that he's really people-oriented.
Yeah.
And of course, Chesley is. And lots of people know Chesley in Waco.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think sometimes whenever you... It can be easier for community to connect with art if it's created by an artist who is so people-oriented.
Yes, yes. And, you know, some of Ira's work is still around Waco because The Lazy Fisherman that was on Taylor.
Okay.
On Taylor Street. That has been bought, and Anacito is going to kind of repair and the murals that are there when it turns into a Jamaican food restaurant.
Oh, wow.
And I think there's still a fence that was behind one of the nursing homes in East Waco.
Okay.
That was painted by him, too.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. I would just like to say I'm very excited about the Jamaican food restaurant.
Yeah, me too.
So you mentioned Art Place earlier. That's a building that's very important to Art on Elm. Can you talk a little bit about that space, you know, how you guys even acquired that building?
Well, it actually all started with Art on Elm.
Okay.
And that and kind of like in year 4, I think, Roy Nash saying, "Hey Doreen, we need a building." And so I ended up buying that building from Sam Brown, and we celebrated buying it for the arts when it was Bill's, should have been, 80th birthday.
Wow.
And so we had a party. And I hope to turn it into an arts hub for East Waco. And from there, we have not got... Okay, this is what it's going to be, and this is what it's going to be in this box. It's like, I'm hoping it's going to evolve, mm-hmm. and the community will be very much a part of making it grow.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. So do you guys use that space at all throughout the year?
No, we don't, because it, it's got a leaky roof, and so we just really open it. We sweep it out and open it just for the student art. And then it's an amazing space inside with great acoustics. So I can't wait to have some music in there. But it's going to take a while, a couple more years maybe.
Well, I'm not worried at all about your ability to pull that together. So
I have to finish Doris Miller. So, I mean, it's like I couldn't. You know, I have lots of balls in the air.
Yes.
It was like, okay, that's two really big ones, so I can't do that. So I put it on the back burner and to, you know, really focus on Doris Miller.
Sure. So how have you seen events like Art on Elm and, you know, just these different kinds of ways that you're interacting with arts and bringing it to the community? How have you seen that impact the community and the people who are living there?
you know, I think it's like been like an amoeba almost, that it's kind of grown and stretched out. I think, you know, initially when I first came to Waco, there were three or four main entities. But now I think because of the, you know, some of the things that we built in Waco, and then when Fiona came, that we could actually apply for a cultural district. I think the cultural district has really made an impact because it's really made folks understand that the arts are important.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're part of all our inner selves, although people sometimes don't think they're an artist. They don't really realize that they are in different ways.
So looking back on all the ways that Waco has changed and expanded since you've lived here, what's your hope for the future of the city's creative identity?
Oh, I would love to see every organization with a $1 million endowment.
That's a great vision.
you know why? Because I know what, you know, David Smith is saying, and what you said, in that in the arts, you know, we always almost feel we're on our knees asking for support. And, you know, for some of the time, we have lost a lot of the arts in our school, and they're so important for the development of young children and in their creative thinking process. And so I really hope that we can develop some great endowments for our arts institutions so that they can do the work they really need to do in getting out in the community.
That's brilliant. Doreen, thank you so much for stopping by to talk about the work you've been doing.
Thank you.
Visit artonelm.org for a full schedule of events, vendors, and other helpful information. This conversation will be posted on kwbu.org. You can also visit creativewaco.org/blog for content related to this episode. Catch the next episode on Friday, April 26th, when I'll share more stories of leaders from Waco's creative community. This has been Conversations with Creative Waco. I'm your host, Ray Jefferson. Thanks for tuning in.